With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, you're listening to The Adventure and Puppet on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I am very excited about the next guest because as soon as I heard and saw their music, I was like, oh my God, this is absolutely brutal in the best way possible. So I want to welcome to the show Zach from Dead Animal Assembly Plant.
Well, thank you, Pipe Man. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Oh, let me tell you, this one happened pretty quick. I don't know we schedule them so quick, but it was like I saw your music and your video, and I say see because I think not only is the music badass, but you guys see you guys. And I was like, oh, that's my type of band right there.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I'm at the heart of me, I'm a drama nerd before even doing music. So as soon as I started doing music, I instantly kind of incorporated the visual aspect to it.
Yeah, and I think it should be that way. I think any type of art should not have like a box, you know, it should be all combined, you know, it's not like, oh, it's just music or it's just, you know, painting or it's just this. I think everybody that's an artist should incorporate every type of artistry.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and especially with something like music is that you have this opportunity to paint with a broad enough brush that you can incorporate all the other aspects of art into it. So, you know, it's good to find like a balance between the audio and visual side, because if you lean too heavily on one side, then it throws everything off and then people get annoyed.
Yeah, there you go. So maybe I like stories. So maybe you could tell us the story of Dead Animal Assembly Plant, because it goes back to like 1895. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the mythos behind the Dead Animal Assembly Plant was in the late 1800s, a German immigrant named Wilhelm Schroeder made his way over to the States, and he revolutionized industrial butchery until a mysterious pestilence befell the local livestock. And in order to make ends meet, as it were, he started feeding the townsfolk to his butchery machines in the slaughterhouse and then, of course, sold them at market until people found out. And then they revolted, of course, and they fed him to the machines. And then the sweetmeat slaughterhouse, which is what he opened, stayed quiet until we came along.
There you go.
And the name itself is funny because I would say that's probably the most common question I get is just like, where did you come up with the name? And the name actually, so you have the mythos, but the name itself came about when I was years ago I was looking at business licenses, and in the state of Oregon, you have to, in order to store or transport animal carcasses, you have to get a business license called a dead animal assembly plant.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so absurd that I'm just like, okay, that is, it's so.
That must be in the book of stupid laws. You know how they have that book of all the stupid laws we still have in this country?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to have a business license for, like, you know, egg inspection and stuff like that. So the fact that it's super granular and there's something so specific for such a really odd, you know, part of life, and it has such a grotesque kind of name. I'm like, well, that, I have to make a band out of that one day. Ta-da.
I love that, because you know what? That's the one question I hardly ever ask, is how did you get your band name? For the same reason you said when you started talking, like, everybody asks. So I normally don't. But I'm glad you brought it up, because that's pretty cool. Like, even me, I would have never known that in a million years. So I would have just thought, you just came up with this cool name that goes along with the myth.
It's funny, because it's over the years, it's been a very divisive name, which is good. I mean, it's better to have a name that people either think it's stupid and cheesy and corny and like, what is that? Or like, oh, this is really cool. I mean, at least you have a conversation going, as opposed to a band name that is like easily forgettable, or it's like, oh, you're that band from that city? Oh, no, I'm that band from the other city with the same band name.
Yeah. Well, I definitely don't think people will forget your band name, for sure. And you're right. It definitely could bring up controversy, but you need controversy. You know, let people talk. You know,
yeah.
The more they're talking about you, the better it is. So I love
it. Art needs to be somewhat dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is part of the, you know, the music as it is, you know. What good is it if it's not dangerous, right?
Exactly. You need to have a conversation. You need to be a little provocative. You need to have something that starts a conversation on some level.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And, you know, it's funny because I'm big about that. Like, you know, things that I name in my business or whatever else, it's always like I put that into my thought is, you know, is there some kind of way I can have like some double meaning or something that gets people talking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you think about the impact that language has on every part of our life and the psychological and emotional connection that we, even on a subconscious level, that we have towards language. I mean, you think of something like an alliteration, that it's so appealing to the ear that even if it's something that sounds ridiculous, but if it has that kind of flow to it, people will remember it over something else.
See, now I'm going to tell you something, talking about these stupid laws. Okay, so down here in Florida, a few years back, we had to make a law, and I'm just going to tell you right now, the fact that we had to make this law tells you something about Florida. We had to make a law outlawing bestiality. So, kind of goes with your name there too, you know, and here's the funniest part, that the lawmakers, they made a mistake when they wrote the law and they outlawed all sex in the state of Florida. So it's actually illegal to have sex in the state of Florida, which is such an irony because it's probably the most sexual state in the country next to maybe Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, you have the whole Miami, you know, live fast, loose lifestyle. That's
Oh yeah.
Oh, Florida. You do things your own way.
Oh, we do. Like so it's funny because the one thing about this pandemic is normally I'm traveling all the time. Either I'm on tour covering festivals, or when it's not tour season, I'm going like Costa Rica and stuff. So I'm not in Florida that much. So for the past year, I've been stuck in Florida, and you know, you just realize just how stupid people are here when you have to be with them that much.
That's fair. But you know what? To give Florida some break, I know people like to give Florida, you know, before Florida was like, you know, New Jersey because of the Jersey Shore. Like, there's always like a state that people have to pick on. But like, if you kind of pull back the lens a little bit, every state, we're all a little stupid or very stupid. So I think Florida gets a bad rap. because people are kind of hyper-focused. But it's like, no, if you really like peel back the onion layers on all the different states, you're going to find a lot of stupidity.
Well, you know, it's funny. So when I'm out in L.A., I have a lot of old school friends because, you know, I went to high school in L.A. and they all say to me, you've been in Florida too long. And I'm like, and you people are in this stupid California bubble, too. Like, you don't know what like it. So you're right. It doesn't matter where you're from. There's something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, yeah, the West Coast in general has almost become like. Because I live in Washington State, so the whole West Coast has become almost like a giant state in a lot of respects. And there is a total bubble out here. And when you don't really realize it until you venture out. And when we did our tour in 2019 and we were like on the road for 6 weeks, you have a little culture shock in the sense. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. That. A lot of these states, especially in like the Bible Belt, South, you know, this is a different set of ideals. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. The West Coast is kind of like this weird semi-autonomous area.
Oh, yeah. And as somebody who I'm also from the North, so I'm a Yankee, like some of those places you just talked about, like I've been there and it's kind of scary. Like you go in the deep woods of Georgia. It's kind of, I don't know, to me, it's kind of a scary place. And that's what I mean by, like, I'll tell my California friends, I'm like, you go to so-and-so place in Georgia or Alabama or one of these places, then you might understand.
Yeah, it gets a little sketchy. But also, like, I noticed that even in places like Pennsylvania, which is a beautiful state, love the state, but you get into those forested hills there and it gets a little deliverancey out there. So.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. For sure. So tell us about the new album. It's dropping on March 26th via Armalite Industries and it's called Bring Out the Dead.
Yeah. Whew. It's been this is a big catharsis for us because the album, we had finished it before we toured in 2019. So we had all the components together. In fact, it was being mixed and mastered whilst we were on tour. So when we came back, you know, that's when we were approached by Armalite to have them release it. And we were all set to go. We had an original date. Then, boom, the pandemic hit. And it just pushed everything back. And I understood that their decision to push it back made sense because there was too much going on. You know, in addition to the pandemic, it was, you know, you had all the BLM protests, then, you know, the election, you know, all the like tumultuous chaos that was happening in this country and around the world. So just was not the right time. So to finally have it out is great. And it's weird because, you know, we wrote all these tracks. A lot of these tracks have been in the process for years and years and years and years. And to have it come out now, still in the midst of a pandemic, it was oddly prophetic. It was unintentionally prophetic, but it's funny that, you know, the name Bring Out the Dead and, you know, with the various tracks on it, it's just like, oh, okay. Well, we didn't write it for the pandemic, but it just so happens it works out.
You know what's so funny about that? There have been so many bands that I've interviewed during this pandemic time that they wrote the music before the pandemic, but it could fit. Like, it was prophetic. It's unbelievable how many bands I've seen that with.
I think it just kind of shows the predictably cyclical nature of humans and society. It says you can absolutely write a song years and years and years, years ago, and then just kind of plop it into today's, like, social commentary. It's like, oh, this still is completely relevant. Because I guess maybe on some level, art kind of does peel back the layers. I mean, some art peels back the layers and becomes more visceral to something that is maybe more, I don't know, like universally intrinsic in all of us. So it's not so much what's happening now, but just kind of what we are on our, you know, on a deeper level.
Well, you know, history always repeats itself. And you know, it's interesting that you brought up what you just did because there have been multiple, like, iconic punk legends from way back that I interviewed, and my question to them was, did you think that the songs you wrote back in the 80s that all you had to do is change a couple names and they could be the exact same songs in 2020, 2019, you know, stuff like that. It just blows my mind that we're still talking about the same things.
Yeah, I mean, and in a lot of respects, especially when you talk about stuff like racial inequality and all the, like, religious divisiveness and dogma, it's kind of sad that we still have to have these conversations and we still have to have music and art that reflects this conversation that really it's 2021. We should have kind of gotten rid of this, but humans are, you know, stubborn, complicated little monkeys that can't seem to get around certain things.
Yeah. And we it's funny because even with the pandemic, if you go back to the news articles of the 1918 pandemic, it's almost like the exact same articles as today, just different people in the articles. It's the same problems, the same issues, the same kind of thing. It's like, wow, we just didn't learn anything.
No, it is funny. Yeah, when you look at like the Spanish flu stuff, even the name Spanish flu is a misnomer because that's not where it came from.
Yeah, exactly.
It was another coronavirus. Ta-da.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, yeah, people, again, not wearing masks and, you know, going out in mass in public when there's still like the height of the disease. And that lasted, what, 2 years?
Yep.
And millions of people died. This is like, oh, I guess we just don't learn.
No. Like, and it's funny because I've interviewed a bunch of bands in countries where they're already kind of back to normal, or they were at the time I was doing the interview. And they're like, just, yeah, you know, the government told us to do this for our health, and we just did it. We didn't think our rights were taken away. We didn't think our freedoms were taken away. We just did it, and then next thing you knew, we were down to no cases, and we were back to doing whatever we wanted in a short time. And I'm like, wow, what a concept.
Weird. I mean, they listened to the professionals, the scientists, the people that actually spent their lives studying virology and medicine, and they didn't listen to instead of listening to uneducated YouTubers or wannabe dictators.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've noticed, and I'm just gonna put it out there, since you said uneducated, it's always the uneducated ones that are telling people in post to get educated, and the people who are telling to get educated are the ones with PhDs and masters.
Yeah, the irony gives me a migraine. And really, you just can't. It's not about having like any kind of logical discourse at that point. You know, especially when people like to make their arguments by either A, posting articles to dubious websites, or like memes. It's like, all right, well then this conversation is done.
Well, that's why I love when memes are used as research.
I know, what are we doing with ourselves? Like, how is that like a counter argument? It's like, well, look at this meme that someone made that thinks exactly like I do, and I'm gonna use it to prove my point. It's like, okay.
Yeah, not exactly. Well, this one's the best. Somebody said something on social media, and I asked, was it peer reviewed? And they're like, yeah, my friends all read it and agreed. I'm like, that's not what peer review means.
Yeah, I don't think they understand like the difference between like, oh yeah, well, all the people on my Facebook feed agreed with me. They hit the like button. They all read it, as opposed to like independent, you know, objective reviews and people scrutinizing those reviews on top of other reviews and other research. It's like, oh, come on, people.
Totally. That's why we need music. So thank God you gave us some new music. And it is absolutely brutal. I love it. You know, it's everything you would want from every genre I'm into, because, you know, I come from a day where you could only like one genre, and I like how today is where I can like multiple, but they're still within the same. So to me, like, your music is everything I like about industrial, metal, punk, and just plain rock.
Thank you. I mean, I really means a lot. And that was always kind of like something I wanted to do, was never like pigeonhole ourselves to a point where, you know, you get the bands that have such a distinct indicative sound to this kind of metal or this kind of rock. And whenever they venture outside of it, you know, all the people, the quote unquote fans are like, oh, you guys sounded better when you did this album, or, you know, I don't like this change of direction, or, you know, the other side is, oh, all your albums sound exactly the same. Why don't you try anything different? So it's nice to be able to kind of jump between the different genres with still a sense of cohesion. Because, you know, you don't want to go, you know, I'm not going to do a disco album.
Well, yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
But, you know, it went anything in any type of metal, any type of industrial, or any type of punk, all can cross over each other, in my opinion. I come from the time, it's funny, I was just talking to somebody right before the interview about this. I come from the time I went to the first ever crossover show where there were three hardcore punk bands and three metal bands, and it was the first time ever they were together, because if you were a long hair at a punk show, you got your ass kicked, and you're a punk at a metal show, you got your ass kicked.
Which is kind of funny that
right. There
would be this animosity, but it's just like, wait a minute, aren't all these genres of music, all these little subsections, isn't always supposed to be something that's like counter mainstream? There should be more unity. It's like everyone is kind of on the same page. It's like, come on, get over it. Get over yourself. It's like it's that gateway elitism, I think, where it really comes down to.
Oh, I never got it, man. I was like, here was my viewpoint, because like back then, it wasn't like now, you know, you really only had a handful. You were really underground. Like, you didn't hear this stuff on the radio. So in high school, there was like a handful of you. There were, you know, maybe five metalheads and five punks. Yet we're the ones that hated each other, but yet the jocks were the ones that wanted to kick both of our asses and didn't like us. I never understood why we didn't like band together. And it's really similar music. I just never understood the whole idea of why we were supposed to not like each other. Like we were on the same page, basically.
Yeah, it's weird. It's I understand like humans' natural predilection for tribalism, but to form tribes against people that you would think naturally you would have some kind of connection to, unification with, I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, I mean, at that time you were the outcast, so the outcasts should have stuck together is what I always said when I was younger. Like, you know, because that's the thing. You go to a show now, you know, all the divisiveness we have in this country does not exist at a show. You know, like, you could be whatever you are at a metal or a punk or industrial or rock show. Just be whoever you are and you're accepted. And that, you know, really society could learn a lesson from us.
Right. I agree. I mean, and especially like when you look at certain festivals, like a few festivals that we played, like in 2015, we got to play Knotfest. And then in 2018 and 2019, we played this thing called Wasteland Weekend. And, you know, even for Knotfest, the music was so diverse. It was so all over the place with every kind of music. And so you had every kind of fan there, every kind of person. And, you know, sure, you're always going to have your snooty, you know, snarky elitist people. But the level of acceptance and the excitement of like, we're here to enjoy music, and therefore we're going to enjoy everyone around us. We're going to enjoy everyone that's on stage and appreciate everything that's happening. You know, it shows that it's possible under the right circumstances, we can get along. And people just kind of need to take that kind of festival mentality that you kind of get when you're in that environment and kind of just apply it to every other part. You know, why not?
No doubt. I've been saying recently, you know, if we want to solve all these issues we've been having lately, we should just have the whole country go to one big mosh pit.
Oh, God, that would be great. There's so much, like, just it'd be such a huge purge. But then you're going to have all those jerks that go into mosh pits. I don't understand the etiquette of mosh pits.
Oh.
Start throwing, like, fists, and you're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what this is about.
You're speaking my language now, because that's big for me, you know. It's like, I'm one of the original, before there was such a word as mosh. So I'm like, I look at these pits sometimes, and I'm like, these people don't even understand what it's about. Or I go to a festival and I see something like Wiz Khalifa performing and they have a mosh pit. And I'm like shaking my head. I'm like, what?
Just, what is the weirdest mosh pit that you've ever seen to a song that you're just like, that doesn't make any sense at all?
There's something like at the tip of my tongue. I'm trying to think. It was worse than Wiz Khalifa. It was like some pop band or something that happened to be, and there was a mosh pit. I'm like, and it was like slow music. And I'm like, you can't mosh to this. Like when I see people moshing and they're not moshing to the beat of the music and for like, and have no reason whatsoever, I just think it's stupid. Because that's the whole point. The point is it has to do with the music. And when it speeds up, you speed up. And when it slows down, you slow down. And there, like you said, there's etiquette. There's a way to do it. I remember one of my best friends, his first pit he ever went into, he was a big dude, but he wasn't really a metalhead. And he came to a show and he did the typical big dude thing. And he stood against the circle and using his brute force, pushing people out of the way. And somebody like me who was really small, I'm still small. I'm that one that, you know, I'm squirrely getting around. I circle the pit and I come from down below like a Mike Tyson lunge and come up and elbow you. And you don't even know I hit you because I'm already gone by the time you know what happened.
Bless those big brick wall people in pits. Because, yeah, I'm also a tiny fellow. So when you don't want to get into all that and you have that nice wall of big brute force, like, oh. Oh, bless you.
Yeah, well, they're good when you're on the skirt of the pit. I just don't like the guys that are sitting in the pit trying to do damage because they're so big. And it's like, dude, that's not what the pit's about. The pit's not about going in and maiming and hurting people. It's about good, healthy aggression and togetherness and unity.
Yeah, it's not an MMA fight. So no. You need to get over that.
Yeah, and I never always got that swinging thing, like the swinging of the arms, like the, you know, as fast as you can.
Hardcore dancing or something like that?
Yeah, no, man. Like, you're just looking to hurt somebody. You're not really having fun. You're just looking to hurt somebody, you know?
This looks like a bunch of kids having throwing tantrums in the middle of a grocery store. Like, just kicking and swinging like, no, I wanted that. Nah.
That's a great description and analogy. I never thought of it that way, but as soon as you started describing it, I'm like, that describes it perfectly.
It's like that Simpsons episode where Bart and Lisa are in the kitchen fighting, and you know, Bart's like, well, I'm gonna swing my arms like this, and if you get in the way, that's your problem. And Lisa's like, well, I'm gonna kick my feet like this, and if you get in the way, that's your problem. Then they just start fighting each other.
I love
basically it.
There you go. I love it. So the album drops on the 26th. Why don't you tell everybody how you can, they can connect with you on social media, how they can get the album, pre-save it, and even buy some merch.
Yeah, so pre-orders are available right now through our Bandcamp. So it's deadanimalassemblyplant.bandcamp.com. If you pre-order right now, you do get like our first two singles available right now, which is A Violent Breed and Colors Under Attack. So it's 12 tracks. Physical copies will be available. If you do order them right now through the Bandcamp, it does come from the UK because Armalite is based out of there. But as it gets closer, and especially after it comes out, we will have a domestic distribution as well. Because I know sometimes people get a little squirrely when it comes to international shipping, which I don't blame them. But I will actually be sending over a bunch of like special patches and signed pictures to the UK to be included with some of those early pre-orders for the physical copy. So you can do that. And we're on all the socials. You can find us on Facebook, Dead Animal Assembly Plant, Instagram. Recently, I actually started up our Twitch account. I've been doing a lot of like recording studio art sessions in there. So you can kind of jump in there and get a little glimpse of kind of like behind the scenes stuff. We are currently working on, in late May, early June, we're going to either be doing like a live stream kind of slash like professionally recorded live session in a nice studio here in Portland, Oregon. So kind of keep your grapes peeled for that. Even though we can't responsibly do shows yet, we're still going to get together and do a show and have it available out for everyone. So yeah, you can catch us catch us everywhere that you like to waste time on social media.
There you go. And, you know, your live stream is one I would want to watch. Like, so there's a lot of live streams out there, and some of them, you know, I love festivals, I love concerts, so some of them are not the same to me. But you guys, I mean, you even brought me back in the day, okay? You picked gigs you went to by, in LA they had this BAM magazine, and you'd see a picture, or there was a flyer somewhere, and you saw a picture, and you're like, man, they look freaking cool. And you didn't even know what they sounded like, it didn't matter. And that's kind of what I got the vibe when I first saw you. And there was actually somebody with me, and I was like, check these guys out. They look cool as shit, you know? And so I definitely think people should catch that live stream because, you know, you're definitely one that's worth seeing it. And then when we do go back to real shows, I bet it will definitely be a brutal live show for sure.
Oh, we have so much pent-up aggression that we just cannot wait because there's just nothing beats. I mean, doing the live stream is good. It keeps us kind of sane while we're still under lockdown, but nothing beats a live show with an audience and that energy and meeting people and hanging out and just we miss it. We're all going through the massive withdrawals and we miss everyone so much. We just can't wait to get out there again.
I love it. And I can't wait. I am definitely going to see you guys no matter what when it comes to live shows being back because I need stuff like that. I was saying to somebody, man, I just need a mosh pit. I just really need a mosh pit right now. That would help a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think about even the days of being able to mosh. And this, you know, everyone's, you know, we have to keep apart and wear masks. They're just like, now you just have like sweat and all sorts of fluids bouncing off of you from random people.
Yeah.
It's a different time.
Yeah, no doubt. So any final words you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I know people are probably really sick and tired of hearing this, but, you know, we want everything to get back to quote unquote normal as we can be. So everyone just be safe, wear a mask, don't listen to meme lords. Listen to medical professionals so we can all get back to normal, have some fun, get back into those mosh pits, and enjoy some live music again because we all miss it. We're all jonesing for it, and the longer we're jackasses, the longer it's going to take.
Well put. And I like that you came up with, I haven't heard that one before, meme lords.
Oh, we all know those people, though. We know all those people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're like, oh, yeah, okay.
You know, I like to mess with people, so sometimes I will make a meme that is just total bullcrap to see how many people just buy into it.
Sadly, though, it's really easy to convince people that it's probably true.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thanks a lot for the music, and thanks for being on The Adventures of Pipe Man.
Thank you, Pipe Man, for having me. This was a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Me too, and I can't wait to see you live.
I can't wait to do live stuff. Can't wait to do live stuff with you, which sounds weird out of context.
Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.